Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Breathe in, breathe out. Never mind. It was time. Number nine. Let the lies. Feline. With a death wish. Be right. Didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on. We're destined.
Bit of the agenda, of course. We will be giving away a spot in the listener appreciation or to the listener appreciation party here today. I haven't specifically figured out the time. We were, at least I had the thought to really test your knowledge of the show by asking what movie and music video were we talking about yesterday, but that's too tough. That's too tough. So we'll
I'm not sure I could get that.
I remember
the song. Yes. I do not remember.
The movie was Billy Madison.
Oh, okay.
But we're not doing that.
Good movie.
We're not doing that. That's asking a bit too much. We will do the thing we've done throughout. Name us into the show sounder, and I'll give the caller here shortly. But as far as what happened last night locally, we had Astros baseball. Last night's game was a real checkmark in the column for me, because my agenda is to limit the number of games in the baseball season. Just too many of them. I think 100's great. It's a round number. It feels more like a sprint than the marathon they talk about with baseball, because game 121 was rough. And we still got 41 to go. The Astros maintained their half-game lead because the Rangers lost last night as well. But after the first two innings where the Astros loaded the bases twice with less than two outs, the first time couldn't push a run across with one out. Lamont Wade, great with the bases loaded. For whatever reason, he does a real good job with the bases loaded. He was not out there because the Astros ran their new acquisition out there. The waiver wire Kings, the Astros, brought in a light hitting, which is what they do, a light hitting outfielder, and one Velasquez, who Lamont Wade eventually pinch hit for, did not come through. Nelson Velasquez, it wouldn't have been a Disney story because it's not that big of a deal, but it would have been cool to see Nelson Velasquez in his first opportunity with the Astros come through. He did not, but he wasn't alone. The Astros didn't score in that bases loaded top of the first. They did have some collateral damage. One of the reasons it was loaded, the bases were loaded, was because Altuve was hitting the foot. He tried to continue, had to be removed from the game. But in the second inning, they load the bases again with no outs and only push one run across. And that was pretty much the end of the threats. The Astros were pretty much done threatening the Giants after that. They lose 4-1. Hunter Brown on the mound, he wasn't great. But that has been the case really throughout the last couple of months since anytime he's been out there as he's returned from the injury. He hasn't been great. The ERA is near 5 since he's been back. Not the Hunter Brown we expected. The Astros are only 6-6 in the starts this year. If you want any chance in competing in a regular division, in a normal division, not the AOS, going 6-6 in Hunter Brown starts. First of all, there's two that's not enough starts. You think about that. But the fact that he's had the 12 starts and you're 500 in his starts, that's not a formula for a real contender. In comparison, last year, a team was better but didn't make the playoffs. They're 18-13 in his starts. So it's partly Hunter Brown with the ERA, as I said, up near 5 since he's come back. But also, the team itself is not hitting in any consistent way. And that's why since they went on their run of winning, was it 11 out of 12? You can see a lot of one-run scoring outputs, two-run scoring outputs just sprinkled throughout. And even when you do get reasonable pitching, you only gave up the 4 runs. Hunter Brown went 5. You're not going to be able to compete. And that's why a Velasquez is up there, because they're looking for answers anywhere. And they found their answers, at least they're trying to find answers, in light-hitting outfielders. Not a great formula. Varsho was out there doing his thing. You know, a little productive out there, but not enough. He was part of the rallies early. He went 1-for-3. And Velasquez was hitless in his opportunities. Lamont Wade comes in, gets a hit, but he was not out there when he would have been most needed, as part of some real disappointing into half innings, as the Astros had a chance to jump on the Giants and their pitcher, Carson Wisenhunt, but he was able to work himself out of jams, and then the Astros go down, because apparently Drew Gilbert's going to just have days against the Astros. I'm not calling him an Astro killer yet.
He took the Justin Verlander trade.
It's in the middle of August again with the 51 Giant team. These games are of some consequence, certainly to the Astros, because of what they're trying to do, trying to win the division. He is not an Astro killer yet, but he's become a guy who I'm going to go, oh no, Drew Gilbert's at the plate at this. Until all I know about him against the Astros right now is he gets it done. And he drove in a run yesterday to get the game tied, and then he scored a run in the fourth. So far, a very productive couple of days for the center fielder for the Giants in this series against his old baseball team. They go again today. It'll be a 245 start today as they close out the series. You've got yourself Brian King as the opener today against the Giants, who have not announced their starter, at least as of yet. I don't know if you've seen the note on the rundown, but Brian King, Sean, I know you guys haven't seen it, but Brian King is...
We'll share the doc with you.
A reliever out there because the Astros don't have any options. Can you guess the last time, if you haven't seen the rundown, the last time Brian King started a game?
I'm going to have to guess, like, college.
Sorry, this headset's not working. What'd you say?
I'm going to have to guess, like, college for Brian King.
You would be right. But there is a connection. He did it at Constellation Field.
Oh.
For McNeese back in 2019.
Okay. All right. I was like, did he go to, like, Cal or Stanford or something? But okay. McNeese.
So
the Cal and Stanford of Louisiana.
No one's ever said that.
Of Lake Charles.
About it. Well, I don't know that anybody has said anything about any school in Louisiana in comparison to Stanford or Cal as far as educationally is concerned.
The Stanford of Lake Charles. If you're going to go to school in Lake Charles,
you go to McNeese.
You cannot do better than McNeese.
Okay, but that doesn't mean it's the Stanford of Lake Charles. It could very well be the Arizona State of Lake Charles.
It could be all things, because I'm not sure if there's another college in Lake Charles.
It could be the Harvard of Lake Charles, because it's simply the best education you can get as far as four-year universities are concerned.
City limits.
But either way, Brian King will try to get the Astros off to a good start, and hopefully the hitting comes along as well, as they try to avoid losing a series to a very bad baseball team. It doesn't look like it when they play the Astros. Hey, are the Giants any good? No, the answer is no. But once they match up against a very average Astros team, they've given the Astros everything they wanted and probably a little bit more than they've wanted so far. So we'll see if the Astros can squeeze out a series win. It'd be nice to do it. They've lost 2 consecutive series right now, and it would at least get the road trip to 500, because right now they're on the verge of going 2-4 on this road trip after losing that series to the Padres. And if they do, it'll follow that same pattern where they get a 6-3 win in game one and then go on to lose games 2 and 3 of a series. So let's hope to avoid that before they come home. Eric, you called in early. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to join us? The number is 713-780-3776. There is some Texan stuff to get to. D'Amico Ryans has thoughts on the reported scuffle between Rutledge and Will Anderson. I have not watched any of Hard Knocks, but there are some clips coming out of it that are pretty interesting, pretty fun. So we'll get to at least one of those clips before we get done with the day. So we will let me give you this from Hunter Brown before we go. I mentioned Hunter Brown and the Astros not winning games with him on the mound, and also his struggles. He talked about his lack of swing or miss last night. He's not getting as many people to chase stuff. And he says, if you want to ask them and come back to me and see what their approach was, I would love to have that info too. I mean, I can't tell you. You go from having a bunch of whiffs to one game not. Is it their approach? Is it their execution? I mean, that's the game. That's baseball. Yes, he did say that. That's baseball. Unfortunately, tonight I got one big whiff against Devers. And outside of that, I don't think any were too important. That's a big ol' they get paid to. And last night, it wasn't up to Hunter Brown's standard. If you had a problem with it, he certainly did too. And he's a little bewildered by why his stuff wasn't getting the results he wanted to. All right, we'll go to break with that. Eric, you hung up. You want to join us when we come back? You're more than welcome. Anyone else, you can as well. We will be back.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we talked quite a bit about Paul Skenes yesterday in a non-traditional way. We mentioned he's a great pitcher, but I don't think we had ever talked about him that much on this show. And why would we? He plays for the Pirates. Didn't have a great outing. We don't have a curse. I'm not going to suggest that we affect anything that happens out there, but the velocity was down. He only threw 65 pitches. He got taken out of the game against the Marlins. Not injury related. So if you're a lover of Paul Skenes, don't worry about that. But he got lifted before the sixth because his manager thought Paul's not giving us the best chance to win.
I did mention that his ERA doubled this year.
Yeah,
to under four.
I thought it was a shot that perhaps his significant other yelling in the crowd every time he throws a pitch was distracting him.
No,
but you're just acknowledging that he isn't the Paul Skenes we know.
And his velo's been down like basically every start this year. Yeah. Like it's just been like a boop, boop, boop,
this was another drop in that velocity.
Yeah. Not great.
Yeah. So in comparison to last year, his four-seamer was 98.2. This year, it's 96.9. The sinker is about a mile per hour less from last year as well. So I don't know what's going on with Paul Skenes. Maybe he hears or feels Mizorowski breathing down his neck. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a story that he apparently gained weight this offseason, and it's messing with his mechanics.
Taking all them trips. With his girl.
I don't know. I just hope that it's not. Normally, when you see this, I'm thinking goodbye to the UCL, or at least see in 18 months.
Yeah, that's tough.
But, you know, we hope not, because Paul Skenes is one of the best players in baseball, and he only plays the Astros maybe once a year, so it doesn't matter.
If that, yeah.
I'm not even benefiting from him tearing his UCL.
You'd just rather be able to watch him. It doesn't ever really affect anything that happens here.
Yeah, so no curse, but not looking great for Skenes.
His performance has dropped, and you mentioned the velocity has as well. We'll see if he's someone who is, unfortunately, looking like a potential, I won't even say devastating arm injury, because that's not necessary, but is there something physically wrong with Paul
Skenes?
He needs
to get back on track.
Yeah, that's all. And if
whatever that means.
Maybe he needs to go on the 10-day IL, miss a start, who knows. But it is the latest development in a very good pitcher's down year. Hunter Brown, much in a different way, has had his own down year, and he did have a long absence because of an arm injury, but that started back in spring training. Okay, the Texans will have their preseason game against the Chargers this week. The notes going into it, don't expect to see a lot of the frontline players. D'Amico Ryan's talked about it this week. They'll have a select group of guys who will not go out there and play. It is preseason game number one. The assumption is that you will see your first snaps for Keelan Rutledge against someone who isn't on his team that he wants to bully. He'll get an opportunity to bully a Charger or two if he wants. Maybe he sees Mike McDaniel in his joggers and says, not on my field. Who knows? Ooh. Who knows how far it goes with Rutledge? Maybe he's going to attack other opposing team's coaches now. If he's going after Will Anderson and what amounted to a sped-up walkthrough, who knows?
I would love to hear his unvarnished thoughts
about Mike McDaniel.
On the joggers.
I don't.
Just on the joggers.
Oh, on the joggers.
Coaching in
what about
with your joggers rolled up.
What about the joggers rolled up and also the high-level shoes that Mike McDaniel is known for wearing?
And the, like, orange-tinted sunglasses.
Yeah, I don't know that Keelan Rutledge would have been the prototype offensive lineman for Mike McDaniel. Just not his vibe.
The guy who didn't have, like, a button-down shirt, so he had to go to the Texans team shop for his introductory press conference.
Yeah. Don't. But we have him here.
Yeah, he's our guy. He's our meathead that doesn't own a button-down shirt.
And D'Amico Ryans was asked to talk about the little dust-up between Keelan Rutledge and Will Anderson. And you're going to hear a slight change in tone from D'Amico, not demonstrative in his in saying he had a problem with it in the back end of the quote, but you're going to hear that you go from love the attitude to, hold on, maybe we need to relax a little bit. Here is D'Amico on that scuffle.
You better be careful there. You messing with Will Anderson. But no, I love it, right? You know, I love the scrappiness of Keelan. I love that his mindset is what I love. He's not backing down from anybody, as he should. I expect that from every player on our team. We're not backing down from anybody. We know we're not physically fighting, but there's always chippiness in our game because it's a tough, it's a physical, violent game that we play, and there's going to be some chippiness that goes on. But we just have to make sure we're smart, especially in game, right? We have to make sure we're smart and make sure we're not that second guy to cause the team to hurt ourselves, and then coach is going to be really upset.
So the balance of that aggression, that it's certainly what the Texans want, and also you have to hope that the player knows when to let off the throttle. I made the comment earlier that I don't want to have to call him Keelan Penning. If we remember Trevor Penning, he was a guy as a rookie who loved to get in scraps with his own teammates. He didn't result in very much as a player with the Saints, and now he's a Charger. They had to trade for him, I believe, last year. So let's hope that this works itself out now, and he can still be that same aggressive player, but he is not a fight starter to the degree where the over-under this morning was set at 4.5 personal foul penalties this year.
Oh, no. That's actually too many. Like,
yes.
There's a classic, like, you know, you want some edge, or you want, you know, to send a message. 5 in a season, that's actually 5 15-yard penalties in a season, you're actually being detrimental.
Yes,
at that
you
point.
Are.
At
you
that
are.
Point, you're, especially as a lineman, like, there's probably going to be a hold or two in there. Like, let's not.
We were discussing it. What's the distribution of penalties? Like, does he get one for backing up CJ if he thinks he takes too hard of a hit or someone bumps him late out of bounds? Does he run over there and get in someone's face and that results in a bit of a pushing and shoving match with the opposing sideline? And
like a Trent Williams.
That's where he
deal.
Gets a personal foul.
Yeah.
Lance said he's definitely going to get one for, like, peeling someone off a pile, like late, coming in late, like you just see a blur of Texan.
I could see that.
Yeah, and him
a
knocking
battle red
yeah,
blur.
knocking someone off the pile. I certainly could see that.
Yeah. I think like
does he
two,
rip someone's helmet off?
I think two. You're
setting it at 1.5.
Yeah.
And the over of 2.
Yeah. Again, once you get to that many, like, you basically do have to be Trent Williams to make it worth it. Like, just giving away all the
yardage. I want his reputation that is growing as far as a guy who doesn't mind mixing it up, to kind of be contained inside Houston, which means
setting the tone in practice.
Yes. If it becomes a thing where the rest of the league knows, oh, this guy is a problem, I don't want Chris Hansen, the other one. Not
Scott
the one,
Hansen?
Scott. Yeah,
you understand
exactly
how this looks, right?
Yeah. I don't want Scott Hansen to go, you understand how this looks, right? About Keelan Rutledge and his personal foul. I don't want him to break into whatever's going on in someone's red zone to go, well, once again,
a brouhaha.
Texans rookie, yeah, yeah. Keelan Rutledge is involved. Him and Jeffrey Simmons have been going at it all game.
Yeah. There's also, when you're an offensive lineman, like, there is a level of, like, you can mix it up, especially, like, after, like, a late hit or something, and not get called for a penalty and still do the tough guy stuff, you know? Like, you could still do the don't mess with my quarterback thing, sure, without actually getting penalized for it. And I think that's where I'm like, can you please, Keelan Rutledge, find that line? find the line of I can bark in someone's face, but also I'm not actively being a detriment to this team.
If you want to be the agitator that pushes people to get after you and they commit a personal foul, does he know how to be the agitator, like in hockey, but not the goon?
Exactly. Exactly. Or even like the, like,
enforcer, but the reasonable.
Yeah, exactly. Really, I'm just trying to avoid as many first and 25s with this Texans offense as humanly possible.
Yes. I don't need the rookie to knock them out of scoring range and make it hey, we really need to complete a 10-yard pass here to get into Kyme's range. I don't need that.
That is something. Again, if he is, you know, if he is Keelan Saturday, then, you know, maybe I'll give him an extra one.
But the thing about Keelan Saturday or Keelan Kelsey, they didn't do things to hurt their team that way.
No, they really didn't.
No.
That actually is a good point of, like, the really good centers or offensive linemen, period, really don't engage in that stuff. Grinder type.
No.
Like, there's a level. There's a, like an NBA team where, like, the stars don't really mix it up. It's the Lance Stevensons, Tony Allens, you know, Draymond Greens. That Draymond Green's about as good as you're going to get.
Yeah, did Trent Williams punch a guy after a game? Is that what happened? Did he get into a bit of a...
He also, it's been pointed out, he really likes to pick on, like, DBs.
Yes,
in these fights.
Yeah, like, he punched Richard Sherman back in 2013.
Yeah,
after they lost to the Seahawks. Yeah, after their game.
But he'll mix it up, like, again, in a defending our quarterback kind of way. But yeah, he's kind of the go-to example, at least for me, of, like, there's like three different incidents with Trent Williams and, like, probably one or two a year that happened during a Niners game. So Rutledge, not going to. Also, there's a little bit of, like, hey, don't do that, Will Anderson. All right? We just gave him $100 million. All right. Can you chill?
Exactly.
Can you chill?
Relax over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that to Mario Edwards or something. Or who's the guy they brought back? No, it's Edwards, yeah.
Let's get to Eric. He wants to talk some Rockets, and then we'll go to break. What's up, Eric?
Hey, my apologies, Bill. I had to take a business talk in Japan.
No problem.
Rumblings that the Rockets are looking to trade KD before the season starts. There's any truth to that? And I know I'm tired of these big corporations like Disney and Kushner's buying up the Lakers. That's all LA is now, but a corporation. And did the Astros make a bad decision by not trading Jordan and Thunder Brown to rebuild? I'll hang up the list.
So I didn't hear the rumblings about KD, but you hear things other people don't. Yeah, the news today, what he's referencing, the second part of his call, is that Bob Iger and Josh Kushner, the brother of Jared, they bought the Lakers. They bought it from the guy who owns the Dodgers, who bought it in the last year or so. I believe Mark Walter is his name, the Dodgers owner who was the majority owner of the Lakers when he bought the stake, the large managing stake in it from the Buss family. He bought it for $10 billion. He just sold it for $12 billion. A nice $2 billion profit for Mark Walter, as Iger and Kushner were were in line possibly to get the Vegas NBA expansion team, but switched up their plans. They said it came together in the last couple of days. When you hear about a $12 billion acquisition of an NBA franchise, it's hard to believe it came together in the last couple of days. Just throwing money around. Hey,
we talked about this weekend and, you know, Monday, I don't know, Iger actually sat down and hammered out the details.
$12.5 billion.
We can actually do this.
We've got an update. $12.5 billion that Iger and Kushner used to buy the Lakers.
I'm actually surprised more guys don't do what Mark Walter did, because all we hear about is how the valuations for these teams only go up, which is true. They do only go up. Where it's like, yeah, what? Why doesn't, like, the Portland owner who seems like he doesn't want to actually ever spend any money? Yeah, just wait like another 18 months, just make $1 billion by selling the Blazers. I don't know, like, the finances behind this, because a lot of this money, I'm sure, is like I know for a fact they're not buying this like cash.
No.
Or they're not slamming down a black card to make this happen. Like, it's all very kind of fake money. But yeah, it is. I don't understand why this is the first I've ever heard of someone flipping a franchise.
It was simply a deal he couldn't pass up. When you get offered $12.5 billion, even if it is a glamour franchise like the Lakers, you are being offered a $2.5 billion, excuse me. Hey,
profit. Yeah,
you just do it, man.
Like,
I guess.
Someone just, if you buy a car, oh, this never happens with cars, but if you buy a car and someone's like, hey, I'll pay you an extra, whatever, 20%. I'll buy it for 20% more than you bought it for.
All right, take it. Sure. Go get myself another car.
Yeah. I'll call myself an Uber.
Yeah, I got the money to. I'll figure it out. So that broke over the last hour and a half or so. That is big business. The Lakers were, despite all they've accomplished on the court and the fame of that franchise, were simply family run for a good long while.
Yeah.
That is changing in sports. And now the guy who's best known for being a part of Disney, and the other one, the brother of a, well, in the last 10 years, very famous political figure, business figure, are going to own the Lakers. Meanwhile, as you mentioned, the guy in Portland is like, money. I got to spend money on this team? Why would I do that? No, or I don't know that he said he got a call from Japan. Sometimes Eric says things and I know what to tune out and what to tune in. So don't focus on where he said he got a call from. Even if he said it was Japan, you know that didn't happen. And all, yes, he, Art, Jared, his brother, Josh, is with a supermodel. Carly Kloss, I believe, is her name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He married her.
How did the guy who's rich enough to buy the Lakers end up with a supermodel?
I don't know how that works.
Those guys are just lucky.
Now that'll happen in 2018, but there's been a recent switch up for some of the women in music and movies that they are deciding, I'm gonna stay away from the guys in my industry. Is there a venture capitalist that's interested in me? Oh, there is? Okay.
It's like the Yankees, whatever, selling off piece for private equity. That's just what Jenna Ortega is going to do.
Yeah, it's Olivia Rodrigo in this case. She's dating someone named Julian Cronenberg, who is a finance bro.
Cronenberg is some, like, this guy's family, like, owns a bank or something.
He is a financier. And she was like, you know what? I'll probably write a song about you at some point, but for now.
Not quite Travis Kelce.
No.
not quite.
I'll date a finance bro and see how it goes for me. All right, we'll go to break with that. Thanks for the call, Eric. You are appalled by the big business of sports. You'd rather be more family run. That's why we got the McNairs.
Boom.
The McNairs.
McNairs.
The Fertittas. Sure, they're big business as well, but.
The it's restaurant owners.
Family owned. Yeah. I don't remember where the McNairs made their money, honestly. Oil, probably. The energy sector.
I think so.
Don't remember. But we're family owned here.
Yeah.
Jim Crane.
I'm sure he's got kids.
He does.
I don't know if they're part of the organization
okay. as well.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't know if they're assistant GMs, but yeah.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry about it, Eric.
Yeah, we're good.
We got family-owned businesses
here. Not soulless entities.
As we used to say, corporate pile of dungs on 1560. We don't have that here in Houston. We've got teams who will eventually be passed down through nepotism
mm-hmm.
to the sons of the...
Worked well with the Lakers.
It's true. Look, the Colts have done it. Well, actually, that was through passing away. But it did go...
I mean, that's...
It did go to a child. It, yeah. Don't worry about here. We're different than everybody
yeah,
else.
Yeah. Family still matters.
Family first. Baseball second.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately.
Jared... Speaking of, we were talking about the other Jared Crane is an executive of the franchise.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's in the mix.
Jared Crane.
He is the senior vice president of executive operations.
Sweet.
Which simply means he is next in line to run this team day to day when Jim Crane says enough. Whether it be this mortal coil, enough of that, or just enough of running the Astros. Either way, Jared's up next. All right, we'll go to break with that. You know what? I'll tell you now. 11 o'clock on the dot. Caller 5 wins the next spot in the listener appreciation party. Caller 5, 11 o'clock. All you got to do is tell Sean your favorite end of show sounder. By the way, Sean, we got a call from, was it the other Sean? Was it Sean, the guy who called in yesterday, who said, hey, is it anything is possible? I forgot that caller's name already.
I didn't get his name.
But he called in and said, hey, I called in. I told him anything is possible, and they didn't give me the tickets. Yeah, because that's not what it is.
Yeah, Mutombo, not my house.
It's not even a Mutombo. It's an air ball.
It really is. Just like
it's just an air ball.
It's a closeout to a non-shooter.
Yeah.
I'll let him have it.
It's like when Luke Kornet jumps up in the air 15 feet away to distract someone who's not a shooter. Don't need to.
No.
It's an air ball.
It's closing out on a Thompson brother.
Yeah, like, hey, what are you doing? That's bad defense. He's just going to blow by you now. If his handle's tight enough, you don't have to worry about it. Sorry, sir. I think your name was Sean. Maybe it wasn't. That's not what it is. Remind people of what it is, Sean. It's not anything is possible.
We did it!
That's what it is. And that's one of your options. But
yeah.
But if it's not your favorite, don't be a ticket vulture. Pick one that you actually
yeah,
like.
Yeah, pick a favorite.
Yeah, pick your
There's
favorite.
There's a lot of good ones.
Yeah, we got plenty. We'll go to break with that. 11 o'clock, caller 5. Be the winner.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
So certainly we do talk a lot about the listener appreciation party, but do want to remind you tomorrow, if you love fantasy football, it's your last shot to get in on the fantasy football draft. We're headed back to the Golden Nugget tomorrow in the 7 o'clock hour. We're giving away that spot for you and a friend to be in the league with us. The winner is going to get a two-night stay at the Golden Nugget. It is listed here as the 28th, 7th, and 28th. But if you have designs on being someone who also goes to the listener appreciation party, it is August 28th that night. You may, and I think we have moved stuff around for people who want to go to both the draft and the party. So you can talk to whoever reaches out to you and maybe sort that out if you are able to go.
Yeah, different options are. But I think the first guy took the
which would make
the
it
offer.
The 26th and 27th.
Yeah.
Those are your night's stay. We are doing that. Myself, Sean, John and Lance will be there. We'll get there the 26th, stay another night, because we're going to be back for the listener appreciation party. Either way, you'll get a $200 food and beverage credit, and you also get dinner at the DraftKings Sportsbook during that draft, which is the 27th. You can tune in tomorrow for your chance to win. Also, last year, Houston Restaurant Weeks raised more than $1.6 million for the Houston Food Bank. This is your chance to help top that right now through September 7th. So eat big, do good. Details at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. So this story I saw because it popped up through social media where DeAndre Hopkins blamed Steve Keim for a positive PED test. He just tweeted about it, I think, and deleted it and said he was set up, and that's why he failed a PED test, suggesting that Steve Keim did it. And why did he just pull Steve Keim's name out of the ether? Not just because he's a Cardinal, but Steve Keim is in a bit of a situation regarding potentially, allegedly, defrauding NFL players. He was accused, he is being accused, of being alongside Muhammad Coulibaly, someone who just passed away at the ripe old age, I believe, of like 24? Is that what I saw, how old he was? 24 years old? And they were alleged to have duped NFL players in this scheme. Yeah, Muhammad Coulibaly is tied with Steve Keim. They allegedly put together a scam to cheat NFL players out of hundreds of thousands of dollars by persuading them to invest in fake Shopify stores. And people didn't really notice that Steve Keim was involved until DeAndre Hopkins saw it and go, well, pretty much said, well, no surprise. He set me up for something too.
Yeah. It's got to be great when an enemy gets
gets some fodder.
Gets popped like this.
Yeah. Oh, if you're DeAndre Hopkins, you're like, you know what?
Yeah. Oh, Steve Keim's in the news?
Let me bring up this.
Yeah, let me tell you something about Steve Keim.
Yeah.
I don't understand the scheme. Or I understand at least the basics of the scheme that he was running. I don't know why. Like, Steve Keim, you're an NFL GM for 5 years, 10 years? Like, what? You need to scheme people to keep the lights on, to live the lifestyle become accustomed to? Like, what?
Look, I know it's a high-pressure job. You don't know how long you're going to have. It's in line with Jonte Porter. Now, Jonte Porter is less established as an NBA player compared to Steve Keim as an NFL exec. But Jonte Porter, why are you ruining your career?
Yeah, off of some debt. You're 53 years old.
Yeah. What are you doing?
You're teaming up with a 24-year-old to scheme people? Like, what?
How does this come about? How'd you meet each other? What's the deal here? So, according to...
He was a GM for 10 years.
The reports at the time in 2022, as far as the Hopkins suspension, an independent expert concluded the banned substance likely came from a contaminated supplement, which is maybe why DeAndre's blaming someone. Why Steve Keim would be the one to do it. The receiver on his own team, I don't know.
Like best player on those teams.
But the NFL upheld the suspension because players are strictly liable for prohibited substances. So even if you took something you were unaware of and if that something was contaminated, that's on you. So that's why the suspension stayed. He got a 6-game penalty, and he lost about $13 million in guaranteed money. So maybe that's why Steve Keim did it. If we're trying to blame someone for something.
The Paul George Sixers, or the Sixers being able to duck the tax last year because Paul George got suspended for 25
Steve games. Keim.
He's like, let me take that into my own hands.
If we're looking for motivations to back up Hopkins and his claim, since you get suspended, your no trade clause gets voided, and it gave Keim greater flexibility in his attempt to move. Yeah. DeAndre. So that's if you are in line with DeAndre Hopkins and you believe that he could be right that Steve Keim poisoned his supplements so he would
tampered,
get suspended.
Tampered.
Say tampered. Tampered with the supplements.
Yeah. Man. Again, I don't understand
why he's involved.
The scheme. He's had the direct or the word director in his title
for
with the Arizona Cardinals since 2006. And he got fired as the GM or the whatever lead executive in 2022. So he had 15 years of being a high level NFL employee, front office employee, and still is like, I need to take money from whatever, a random NFL players. Buda Baker. I need a scheme on Buda Baker and Calais Campbell.
Yeah, I can't speak to.
I don't know if he did to guys on the Cardinals. Just...
Yeah, there have been several NFL players come out and say, this guy got me too. But as it stands now, Steve Keim certainly is able to defend himself if he wants. And he has come out to at least push back on DeAndre Hopkins' claims. I don't know where he stands as far as the criminal investigation into him. But Keim said this. DeAndre Hopkins recently published and then deleted a statement falsely suggesting that I was responsible for contaminating or manipulating the drug test associated with his 2022 suspension. I did not contaminate, alter, manipulate, interfere with, or cause anyone else to interfere with DeAndre's drug test or its results. I did not set him up for a suspension, and I had no involvement in causing the test result that led to a suspension. The man doesn't pay attention to what he puts in his body. Why are you blaming me? He didn't say that, I'm adding. That's pretty much what Steve Keim said. It ain't me. I didn't do it.
It wasn't me.
He goes on to say, accusing someone of deliberately interfering with an NFL drug test is an extraordinarily serious accusation or allegation. So on and so forth. I've retained counsel to address these matters about my reputation. Also, I have no intention of engaging in public back and forth, you know, besides the statement. But Steve Keim won't allow you to accuse him of something like that, DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
Hopkins did delete it, but it's too late for that. It has been seen. So we'll see what Steve Keim does. DeAndre Hopkins, I believe, in the midst of starting a coaching career.
Yeah. Is he with Georgia Tech?
He is with.
Right?
He's an assistant wide receivers coach for Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're thrilled to have their new hire be involved in this.
Hey,
come on, man.
DeAndre.
We got camp in full swing. You're here. We love you. Love having you here. But could you not accuse someone of that and then delete it? Because it makes it look like you just said that haphazardly. And now this person may get legal counsel. Well, has gotten legal counsel. And who knows what he's going to do to push back on your claims. Hey, can you just get a guy to run an in cut the right way?
Yeah, can teach guys how to
Get off a jam,
set up for a 50-50 ball.
That's what we have you here for. We know that's what you're good at. Not tweeting and deleting stuff. So, Steve Keim will not be falsely accused. We'll see what he does there. All right, hour one's done. We're only about 5 minutes away. Actually, less than that now. 4 minutes away from your chance to win a spot in the listener appreciation party. Simply be caller 5 and tell Sean your favorite end of show sounder. You do that, you win. You'll be able to join us at St. Arnold on August 28th. That's a Friday. So we'll go to break, and by the time we come back, we probably will have our winner. We'll be back for hour two.
ESPN 97.5.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.